NWP Radio.
You're listening to NWP Radio, a production of the National Writing Project.
NWP.
Welcome, listeners. This is NWP Radio, a production of the National Writing Project. Today is August 29th, 2019, and today we are talking with the authors of A Student's Guide to Academic and Professional Writing and Education. I'm your host, Tanya Baker, of the NWP in Berkeley, California. I'm so pleased to welcome Katie Arostegui, Allison Bright, and Brenda Renard, the authors of this amazing book that I can't believe we didn't have before now. Thank you all for coming on NWP Radio to talk about it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Tanya.
It would be great if we just started with each of you introducing yourselves and telling me and the listeners a little bit about yourselves.
Okay. So I'm Katie Arostegui, and I am this year going into my 16th year of teaching. I got my bachelor's degree in English from UC Davis, and I have a master's in English from Sac State, as well as a teaching credential in secondary English. And I have a PhD in English from Washington State, and I have been teaching composition classes for most of that time, actually, but I did teach some high school and junior high English, and I've been teaching in the writing program at Davis since 2011, and I teach a variety of upper division writing courses to juniors and seniors. One of the classes is writing in elementary and secondary education, which we all teach.
And I'm Brenda Renard, and I guess I've been teaching over 20 years. And I've always been interested in teaching writing. That was my first love. I was an English major in college, but I decided to go on and get a master's degree in teaching writing and then a PhD in education with a writing focus because I just have always felt that writing, being a writer and learning to write, is so transformative for us as teachers and also for our students. And so I have always been interested in the writing process and how people learn to write. And this book was sort of a natural result of that process and my thinking on that process for many years. Nice. So I'm excited. I also teach at Davis now in their university writing program. I've been here for 9 years, and I also teach the writing and education class that this book came out of.
Hi, I'm Allison. I also am a lecturer in the university writing program here at UC Davis, and this is starting my 7th year, I believe, and like Brenda, I studied literature and English as an undergraduate and then moved on to study the teaching of writing in my master's program at Sonoma State, and then I also have a PhD in education from UC Santa Barbara, which is actually where I met and fell in love with the writing program as well. So I'm a TC of the script, and this basically is a lot of the culmination of our work, both as teachers and as writers, but also as writing program folks. So we're really excited to be speaking with you and be speaking with our people about the work that we've been working on for so long. So I think all of us really think about writing as a way that we're empowering young teachers and finding their voice through writing. So we're really excited to be here.
Empowering and transformative are two words I would associate both with, you know, writing for teachers and kids, but also with this book. It really does make me feel like, why didn't this exist before? So let's start talking about the book by having you just describe it, give an overview of the book to our listening audience. Let's say again, the title is A Student's Guide to Academic and Professional Writing and Education.
Well, I would say an overview of the book, a good way to think about it is that it's a rhetorical approach. And what we mean by that is that we want our readers and teachers and people thinking about being teachers and writers to think about writing rhetorically, meaning who are you writing to? Who's your audience? Why are you writing? What is the purpose? What is the rhetorical situation you're writing in? And so everything flows from there. The genre that you would write in, what kind of sentences would you choose? What would your vocabulary be? Your grammar, everything flows from that rhetorical situation, basically audience and purpose. So that's one big overview that frames the book. So in each chapter, we discuss those aspects of each genre that we explain.
And the book is also organized from genres that students are more likely to encounter in their academic spaces, and then it moves towards genres that teachers are more likely to write in professional spaces. So we start with things like the reading response, which is more common in, say, an undergraduate education class, and move towards genres that pre-service teachers are more likely to encounter in their credential programs, like a teaching philosophy or a lesson plan. And we end the book talking about a genre that practicing teachers might even write, that focuses on using research to advocate for change in your teaching situation.
And another thing we really try to highlight throughout the book is that so much of the work that we do as teachers is based on self-reporting and reflection. So we really underscore reflection as a mode of writing, and an important mode, because the way in which we, go up for promotions, or the way in which we get reviewed, oftentimes will be significantly based on accurate and authentic reflections of our teaching practices. So we try to also, within this rhetorical approach, really highlight the practice that is reflection. And I think the main goal of the book too is to really encourage our students, and also remind practicing teachers that writing is one of our core responsibilities as teachers, and that we should embrace it rather than perhaps reject it, and think about what writing can do for us as teachers, and how it can allow us to make our voices heard, and to remind us that our voices are important.
And this all the things we're mentioning really come from the Writing Project philosophy of that writing really does matter. That teachers' mm-hmm. voices really matter, mm-hmm. that teachers can help, help teachers teaching teachers. So right. All those things that we all learned in our, by becoming TCs and going through our summer institutes at the Writing Project, has definitely been the basis of the philosophy.
So I was going to ask you about your process, but a lot of things I want to ask you about the book seem to flow from all the things you said. So I'm going to come back and ask you about how you came to write this book together and your process, but I'd like to stay in the book because it's so lovely. I want to say that that organization you described as starting from what students are likely to have to write through what teachers are likely to have the opportunity to write about in their profession is really obvious to the reader, I think, but it felt so much like an opportunity to welcome undergrads into our profession. Instead of saying, you're going to be a student for a long time and do what we say, and then if we decide you're good, you're going to get to be a teacher, it just feels like this welcome, like, you're going to be a teacher, and we're so happy to have you here, and here's what we do. And here's a way to do it. And it felt, I just recently been talking to people about a framework for teaching, an old in the Writing Project framework for teaching reading as, before, into, and through, or before, into, and beyond reading. And I felt like that's how this book felt, before your teacher, into your career, and throughout your career. And it seems obvious that was sort of your intention, but I wonder if you want to speak any more to those intentions.
I would say that we one of our goals was to really make this book accessible to all those populations that you just said. So because we teach undergrads, we wanted this book obviously to be for them and for us to be able to use this book in the course that we teach. But we also have experience working with credential students and into, you know, and beyond. And so we wanted for sort of students and pre-service teachers and teachers at all levels of that continuum to be able to access this book and really to be able to use it, and even practicing teachers to use it as a resource once they're, you know, they're on the job. So that was really important to us and we had to kind of, you know, there were times when we really had to work with our voice and sort of how we were writing it to make it so that, you know, an undergrad student would really find it easy to get through and digestible, even with the important concepts that are in here.
And part of that was welcoming, like you said, welcoming them to the profession, but also reminding them right away that they're going to be teacher writers. And here's how we can help support you as you develop into becoming teacher writers. Mm-hmm. So we also wanted it, you know, we're very aware of buying books is always something that can be challenging to ask our undergraduates to do. We want them to be able to actually hold on to this and think of it as a long-term reference. So that the idea that that as they're developing their teacher writer identity, that it's not going to be something that's just, I've done it, I'm static. But the idea that, you know, that the writing process and your writing identity might actually not be as linear as you originally think it's going to be. So I think that was one of the intentions.
I think it would have been difficult to write this book if we hadn't been teaching or writing an education class for so long. I mean, for me, so much of this comes from our students. Throughout the book, we use examples that our students gave us permission to use, writing they'd done in our courses. And it really just organically grew out of a need for us, our own curriculum that we had all developed, and then a need to have a text like this for our students. And so I feel like it's very grounded in the needs of students, and it comes from them so much. And Katie also, we teach this class, but Katie also runs a program called the Writing Ambassadors here at UC Davis. And maybe Katie, you want to say a little bit about that?
So the Writing Ambassadors program is an internship program. So I help place undergraduates in K-12 classrooms and help them. Their job is really to help the students with their writing, whatever writing task that the K-12 students have. And so a lot of the time they'll get placed in classrooms where writing project trained, you know, with writing project trained teachers. And so I haven't taught that class since this book has come out, so I'll be thinking about connections I can make and ways that I can use it for that class as well. But this book is also informed by my experiences with those students too, when they're thinking about when they come to my class and we're kind of talking about how to effectively teach writing to kids. So that's also part of it.
And we also thought really long and hard about what our colleagues in education departments might need from a text like this. And we did a lot of research, and both online, looking at syllabi from across the country and interviewing some of our colleagues here, and really thinking about how could someone use this text, not just in a writing intensive class, but also maybe using it to support their work they're doing in their other education courses. So we try to be really mindful of that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really feels like that. I just was imagining every education student at Davis, like getting this book the first day they arrive and learned and earmarked and written all over by the time they graduated.
Well, it's interesting too, because we've shared early drafts with our students throughout the last year or so. And a lot of the students have really resonated with this, like, wow, okay, this is so explicit. So I think a lot of the work we're trying to do is just kind of make transparent some expectations that we might have, both in our field, but also kind of as what we expect professionally, what they're going into. So, yeah.
Nice. I want to say I was really struck in reading it. Well, years ago when I was in the high school classroom and Jeff Wilhelm and Michael Smith wrote Reading Don't Fix No Chevys, and they interviewed a kid who said, English class is just one damn thing after another. And I was and I particularly when I was reading kind of the middle of the book about what difference it might make to a young person who was managing their lives as a student and thinking about their professional lives if they really thought about writing their teaching philosophy or writing lesson plans with a frame of like thinking about their rhetorical stance, like who am I writing this for and what is it for, like feeling some ownership over those things. I thought that was brilliant, and I just would love to hear you talk a little bit about your experience of that with students, or your thinking about that with students.
Well, I think that our students come into their upper division undergrads. Here at Davis, they have an education minor, and so they may be minoring in education. So they're not, some of them are very sure they want to teach, but some of them aren't sure. Mm-hmm. And so I think what we've tried to do is to think about professionalizing the profession of teaching. And what I mean by that is it isn't just a fallback job. I mean, that this is something that you really care about, this is something you plan for, this is something that has professional activities, including writing. And if you want to talk about the lesson plan, for example, maybe Allison can talk about how Allison wrote the lesson plan chapter, and it again does come out of our classroom experiences and really in the understanding that students cared about teaching, thought they might want to teach, but didn't really have a concrete idea of what teaching was. Mm-hmm. What do teachers do? And so we wanted to solidify that and make that a little more explicit.
We see so many students from across the disciplines here, because again, they're minoring in education. So it's not like they've come out of a rigorous coursework. Oftentimes this is the first class that they've had that has spoken about education at all. So that can become a challenge for us when we're teaching that class, because even though we have that background, it is our area of expertise. It's technically, it's not a content course, it's a writing course. So we try to be very mindful of that and balance that. And particularly with the lesson plan in itself, we spend a lot of time talking about the lesson plan as a genre. And then because we usually make the kids, like, you know, our students go online and just Google lesson plans. Well, you can find anything, but thinking about it as a static and intellectual genre, because when they get into their coursework and the format that we adopted in that chapter is from our colleague at Illinois State University, that is an adopted standardized genre that they're using. And so when students initially see that, if they haven't seen kind of that template of a lesson plan, they can kind of push back, like, where is my voice? And how do I make this original? And how can I do that within these constraints that either my school of ed or my district is asking me to do? So we have a great opportunity there to talk about how you can be yourself and teach your own authentic idea, but also how to conform to the standards. And honestly, the first time I heard this discussion was at my summer institute. Like, how can we do the work that we want to do? And my mentor, Sheridan Lau, who I'm sure many of you are familiar with, he would always say, like, any good idea you have, there will be a standard for it. Any great idea that you have, you will be able to find those kind of trappings around it. So let's focus on what students' good ideas, smart ideas, we want to teach our own students. And so I think a lot of that can be hopefully really empowering. Like, I can enter this conversation and I have something that's worth teaching to my students.
Yeah.
I think another thing that they kind of struggle with is sort of understanding the standards. And sometimes, and I think we've done a pretty good job of responding to that sort of problem area in this chapter, with telling them that it's, even though there are these standards that they're going to have to be teaching, that they have so many choices as to how they sort of design their lesson plans, design their curriculum to meet those standards, because that's something that they don't always understand. So I think the chapter gives a lot of different ideas for just ways they can design their curriculum to accomplish the standards.
Yeah, so there's a balance between, we didn't want to shy away from the fact that there is a situation, there's an educational context they will enter, when they become teachers, that it will require them to use the standards and will require them to do assessments and things like that. But then within that, there's freedom and they can develop themselves as authentically. Mm-hmm. And we really tried to create that balance.
And we did draw on uncommonly good ideas, I think, which we I didn't read that for my summer institute, but I think that was for the next summer institute. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we got a hold of that book from the writing project. And so I know that some of chapter 6 is drawn from a lot of those ideas. Yeah. That book really fleshes out those ideas.
Mary Ann Smith will be so happy. we can come back to anything that I've not given you an opportunity to talk about regards to the book itself, but I know people in our community are going to want to hear about how this book came to be. So how did the three of you decide to write this book together?
It started so long ago. We
were trying to think about how many years ago it was. I think we came up with
came out of a conversation as to, because we are also tasked here to teach other courses, writing in the profession courses. So we teach writing in business and writing for health professionals. And when you go to like create curriculum for that, you do a simple Google search, or you go down Amazon and the text pops up and you have selections, and textbook salesmen are coming to our door, or salespeople are coming to our door to sell their text. And there's no, so this book kind of came out of that lack, but it's taken many iterations, and it's over the years, because we saw that there was a lack, but again, it was really thinking, I think, rhetorically, who is our audience? We know we want to give a resource to our students, but then what is it we want them to do with it? Mm-hmm. So I think that was the start of it, but I don't think the three of us thought about how much research at the front end would take.
Yeah.
Not only about the content, but also just about how to write a book proposal and actually how to think
right.
about those.
We went through many iterations of the book proposal.
Yeah.
the way that this book started off was very different than what we ended up with. Mostly, I think, because like Allison was saying, we struggled a lot with audience, I think, and trying to figure mm-hmm. out who we were writing this for. Very early iterations, we were trying to write mostly for practicing K-12 teachers, and we kind of lost sight a little bit, I think, of our undergrads. And so we had put quite a bit of effort into that, I feel like, in drafts, and until we realized, like, no, that's not right. So we really scratched a lot of that, and kind of had to go back and really think about, okay, what is something that our undergrads here can use, that credential students could use, and that even practicing teachers could use. So that was really, once we kind of figured that out, I feel like then we were able to kind of think about, so what should we talk about in here?
Mm-hmm. And I also want to give a shout out to Maya Poe. She wrote the foreword mm-hmm. for our book. She's the director of the writing program at Northeastern University. Mm-hmm. Early in the process, she and a colleague were editing a series through Oxford University Press on writing in the disciplines, and we were working with them initially, and so she sent us sample proposals and gave us feedback on our proposal, mm-hmm. but that ultimately we didn't end up publishing with them. We published with Teachers College Press. But that helped, that
yes.
feedback,
Tom Dees as well,
yeah. Tom Dees, giving us feedback, just helping us through that initial process, because we'd never written a book before, we'd never written a proposal before, so looking at mentor texts, getting feedback and revision, her help and really helped make the proposal strong for Teachers College Press. Mm-hmm. So nothing is done alone. It was the three of us writing collaboratively, but we also had outside help. So it's important to acknowledge those people.
And that help, that initial help allowed us to outline and to structure the book. And then really it became a task of just kind of breaking it down, meeting regularly. We actually, we talked about this at Script a couple of years ago. The teachers there in their Advanced Institute were asking how we did this.
Yeah.
We pulled up our Google folder and really showed them what it's like to have just years of drafts and years of research and, you know, all of our external reading. So it became, thankful for technology to write collaboratively. It became, I would say, seamless towards the end of how we did that. But we also, you know, have busy lives like many of your listeners. And so finding the time to do that and setting deadlines and actually going away, we took, you know, we went to a writer's conference and finding that space, I think really worked. But you definitely find out when you're working so closely with your colleagues and your friends, how you like to write. Like, it's a very good reflective process.
Yeah.
We put it into practice in the book. So it was a really good experience.
It's also a good, I find myself drawing on our experience a lot when I'm teaching mm-hmm. my writing courses, just when I'm talking about writing process or revising, you know, find myself kind of, I'll mention some experience from our collaborative writing, something I learned about myself or that I learned about how other people write, and I don't write that way, because I think Google Docs and writing that way is also like such a learning experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to kind of sort of expect my students to be able to do it or do group projects, group collaborative writing, but then going through this process has really sort of complicated that. You know, I have a much better kind of understanding of the nuances of how that can go or not go, that I'm able to share with them. So I think that the process of writing the book has really helped me explain some elements of writing process to my own students.
And we broke the book down, so we each were responsible for a couple chapters, but then the revision process was completely collaborative. All of us gave feedback on each other's work. Towards the end, we would just sit in a room and read the entire draft out loud.
Wow.
Yeah, we did that at the end, line by line.
Line by line.
In a room together.
In a room together.
Oh, that's so awesome.
And then we did that with a couple chapters.
Yeah.
Yeah, we wrote chapter 8.
We wrote the chapter on critical reflections in a hotel room over the weekend together.
Right.
And so, you know, we had discussions, you know, about a word, a phrase,
sentence. We learned so much about syntax.
So every single word has been agonized over by three people. And I think it makes the book stronger. I cannot imagine having written this alone. I just don't think it would have been possible. So,
The book is really strong, and you mostly talk about with plural pronouns, we did this and we did all that. And yet occasionally you'll say we each wrote a chapter, but it doesn't feel, you know, the chapters feel seamless together now. You wouldn't, I think as an outside reader, know, oh, somebody wrote this, somebody.
That's good to know, because I know that we struggled with that at certain points in the process where it was feeling like some chapters were, you know, definitely written by one of us and not the other. So.
But I think that through the process of revision and also just the, there's, because there's so much of the research I feel like we put into the chapters that like even chapters that I didn't write, I feel like, oh yeah, I helped do that or that.
Yeah, I helped find that source.
Yeah, I feel stronger. I feel a real sense of ownership over
We also really pooled our resources from our students, you know, to help each other with their chapters, you know, so if somebody was doing, you know, like lesson plan chapter or something, we would all go and see what do we have, lesson plans that our students have written or, you know, whatever, so.
Yeah, nice.
And the other person we want to thank is Melissa Brown, who is the education librarian here at UC Davis. Mm-hmm. I was responsible for chapter 4 on education research, and so much of that comes from the times that she would come and visit my classes or all of our classes and help our students, you know, navigate the databases, etc. So she's, again, a resource that we really relied on to help us, and librarians don't get enough shout outs.
I wasn't going to ask this question. It didn't occur to me until I heard you talk about your process, but I know there's a lot of research on collaborative reading and reading groups and the way that kids can learn strategies and skills from each other. And I wonder, having come out of this book, if each of you notices anything you learned about researching or writing that you're taking forward that you learn from working with each other? Hmm. Do you write with each other in your head now?
Yes, to a certain extent.
Yeah, I think we do.
Yeah.
What would Katie say about this?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
How would Brenda punctuate this?
Right. You definitely did kind of do that.
I feel like when you're writing so closely for so long with people that you really, everyone either self-identifies or group identifies like what their strengths are. Like, okay, no, that's your thing.
Yeah. We would set things aside sometimes, like, no, we're going to leave that for Brenda.
Yeah.
We definitely did learn what I think everybody's strengths were, mm-hmm. and everybody kind of has their own things too that they're really kind of, you know.
Yeah. Well, like, what are you going to go to bat for?
Right. What do you? Yeah. And we all kind of had different things that we went to bat for. And so if we came across something like, well, we better run that by Allison because she's got a thing with that, you know, something, you know. So there definitely was that. I also want to give a shout out to the tree. Lest we forget.
Yeah.
So I think we wrote about it really briefly in the practice or somewhere mm-hmm. in there, but how long ago? 3 years ago?
Yeah.
We were sitting outside the coffee shop here, and we were talking about this class that we teach and talking about, you know, some of our ideas for it, and a tree limb came down and hit the umbrella that was over our table and came down on us, and so we all suffered concussions that kind of put a stalled the progress of the book. It might be some of the reason for the 6 years of the book. But that whole experience really just, I think, made us come, you know, like closer in the end, because we were also going through that at the same time as we were kind of, these ideas were building in the back of our heads. So.
Yeah. Going through trauma with people and then
yeah.
learning how they write.
Right, yeah, right.
Bonded for life, it seems like.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I know when you put a book out into the world, you have like sort of like as a parent, you have hopes and dreams for it. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about how your book's getting picked up and used in your program, and also how you, like, in your wildest dreams, how the life you imagine for it.
Here at UC Davis, this will be the first quarter that we'll have access to it during the academic school year. So all three of us are going to use it, and we are, we're really well supported by our program here and our chair, and it's encouraging lots of people to come check it out, but not making it a requirement. So I think that we are going to probably be the, the foundation of how it's going to be implemented here. And also we hope to use it long-term here locally for professional development, so we can actually, so our colleagues can see what we're doing in this class and to welcome new people who might be teaching this class and looking at it as a resource in that way.
Uh-huh. We're also hoping that professors over in the School of Ed here.
Yeah.
We had one professor in particular who contributed to the chapter on reading response, who's over in the School of Ed, who said he's going to use the book in some way. So we're hoping that it can really be a resource for those education classes. So I guess that's one of my wildest dreams, is that it will be used in education classes that have a writing component to help those students write.
Well, we're also presenting on a book at NCTE in November.
Good.
And I think we have some other conferences lined up for this year mm-hmm. as well to go out and speak about the book. As far as our dreams for the book, I mean, we would love to see it used across the country in schools of ed and in writing programs and for people starting a teaching, you know, going through a credential program, I think,
right. In
no matter where they are. And and we also wrote it with an eye to make it accessible across the country. I mean, that was some of the initial feedback we got on the proposal was, don't make it California centered,
right. Don't
make it UC Davis centered.
Right.
And we did, by Allison mentioned, we did research of syllabi across the country. Mm-hmm. And wanted to make it accessible, like, even for states that aren't using the Common Core standards, for example.
Right.
Or, you know, because we know that not everyone is in California and is in that situation. So we tried really, so we'd love to see it be used across the country.
I think we'll also probably go and talk about the book at the Summer Institute here for the writing project this coming summer.
Yeah. And so. It would be great for even like a new teacher institute as well, right?
Yeah.
So those, to remind our new teachers that when you're feeling frustrated or if you're feeling, you know, disempowered, hey, let's think about how we could use writing as a form of empowerment.
That is a lovely, perfect sentence, maybe, to end our conversation. I love this book. I am so excited that you're going to take it to NCTE and to your Summer Institute. I would encourage all of our Writing Project colleagues to pick it up and think about how they could introduce it to their Summer Institute. So look out, you might get a lot of calls. I'd love to give you an opportunity, though, if there's a last word, a question I haven't asked you that I should have, to speak up now.
I say anyone interested, anyone has any questions or wants to talk to us further about the book or how they might use it, just to contact us at UC Davis.
Yeah.
And we'd be happy to meet with anyone, talk on the phone, or just chat about it.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful book. I would say one last time, I can't believe it didn't exist before this. The whole community should be very thankful to you for bringing it to us.
Thank you.
They buy it up and fill up your emails with some requests to talk about it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to NWP Radio, a production of the National Writing Project. NWP. NWP Radio.